So good morning. Trespassing allowed. I still get people asking me, John, why trespassing allowed? And I tell people there's a lot of different reasons, but one of the things I have found throughout my life is that I enjoy very much looking at the norm and then saying, hey, what would it be like to do the exact opposite of normal? Okay? Normal's good. It's some people like being normal, but there's others of us out here that kind of feel like, you know what, sometimes normal is just boring. And so for me, throughout my life, I take normal, say what would be the opposite of this, and then go for it. And today I'm going to share probably one of my most memorable and maybe my most successful moments when that happened. You know, I've told you, you know, trespassing allowed is so different because everybody else talks about no trespassing, no trespassing, there's no trespassing. There's so few signs out there that says trespassing allowed. That's the quick and easy. But here is an opportunity that I had at the age of 30. Yes, you probably may or may not realize this. Today is my birthday. Valentino, I'm not necessarily, but being born on Valentine's Day is pretty cool. Just remember that if you're born on Valentine's Day, though, and you're married to some, you know, amazing person or whatever, even though it's your birthday, because it's Valentine's Day, I still have to acknowledge that she is just as important today as I am. 30 years ago, about 6 months before my birthday, I am invited to a surprise birthday party. And it was like most surprise birthday parties where you get there early, you hide somewhere, and you wait for the birthday person to show up so you can yell surprise. Just so happened that in this particular situation, we were all waiting underneath these steps as we were kind of hiding there for the guest of honor to show up. And as we were sitting, standing, leaning, just about everything, because there was a lot of us and the stairway was not that large, we were talking and laughing and wondering when the person was going to get there. And the longer we waited, the more we were giggling and talking and this and that. And yes, you know, because it was a birthday party, there was probably a couple drinks going around. I suddenly had a thought, and that thought was this. You know what? We've been here for about 15 minutes waiting for the guest of honor. Is it possible, could it be possible, that maybe we are the ones to be surprised? And then it hit me. Sure enough, 4 minutes later, our guest of honor shows up. He walks through the door with his girlfriend, and we all yell surprise, and we carry on as we always would do, and as most people do at a surprise birthday party. However, for me, the seed was planted. That seed of, wait a second, what would an opposite surprise birthday party look like? Anybody can get together with a group of people and surprise the birthday boy or the birthday girl or whoever. But could a few people with an outlandish idea, could we pull off the surprise birthday party of the century? Now, Again, I'm pretty sure this isn't the first time in the history of the world this has ever happened. But I will say that as I researched it later and I've asked other people, everyone has said the same thing. John, I've never heard of anything like that in my life. So, let's start from there. There's a couple different ways to tell this story. But I think the most effective is pretend you are in the crowd, about 150 of you, waiting for John on his 30th birthday party to yell surprise and get excited and all of that. Okay? So it's February. It's John's 30th birthday party. And you are invited with a bunch of his friends from different groups, volleyball groups, fraternity groups, fun groups, business groups. You're invited to celebrate John's 30th birthday. You're having it at a place called Hilltop Grove. Hilltop Grove, west side location of Evansville, Indiana. It's just kind of a big party place, okay? So basically, you're going to get there around 6 o'clock. You're going to start having some food and have some drinks because John's supposed to show up at around 7 o'clock. John's been told that a couple of his friends are going to pick him up and they're going to bring him to like a poker game. All right. The problem is that night though, this party house, kind of a rustic place, the heater that day, one of those heaters that hang above the ceiling, the heater broke down. And because it's a fairly chilly day, it's not a good thing. Granted, they had a fireplace there and they could have the fire, but they really needed to get this heater going. So John's wife calls local heating and air company. They send a couple guys out, but while the party was going on, the heater was not fixed. And unfortunately for Tammy, she was feeling pretty bad. So she is now talking with John's father, Mr. Schrader, and they're trying to figure out what's it going to take to get this heater fixed. Now, the thing is, as the party's going on and everybody's enjoying themselves, the food, the drink, and so on and so forth, and the anticipation of John showing up in about a half an hour, there's just concern that why can't these guys get this heater fixed? It didn't seem like it was going to be a major issue. So, at least there was communication going on with the two guys. One was, normal size guy. The other guy, pretty big, robust guy. They looked like they knew what they were doing, but they were having no luck. John's going to be showing up, and Ron, his good friend, Bunger, and Kevin Mishler, his other good friend, were going to be bringing him. And so everyone's kind of waiting with anticipation. All of a sudden, somebody looks out the window, and sure enough, Ron's coming up the long drive, which gives them time to turn off the lights, gives them time to prepare for the big surprise. We've seen it 1,000 times, right? So as Ron knocks, comes to the door, opens the door, as soon as he opens the door, the lights come on, and everyone yells, "Surprise!" to John, who wasn't with Ron. Ron is there by himself, and everyone is saying, "Where is John?" The other kind of frustrating part that John wasn't there was also the guys don't have the heater fixed, and they were dropping tools at that last minute when they were trying to keep everything quiet. Okay, Ron, where's John? And, what's going on? Well, Ron informs everybody that, okay, everything's fine, but Kevin Mishler, on his way with John to pick John up, Kevin Mishler had a minor accident from his house. So he's now on his way. Everything's fine. But it's going to be about another 20 to 30 minutes before John gets here. So everybody looks at each other, a little surprised. But you know what? This is John. This doesn't necessarily surprise anybody that things are a little bit different. So people get back into the partying mood. Everybody's kind of happy, except now Tammy Schrader, Tammy's father-in-law, and an engineering friend, Jerry Lutz, are now kind of frustrated because these guys still don't have the heater fixed yet. And to add insult to injury, rumor is out that one of the guys working on the heater actually went over to the buffet line and got some food. Whether he asked permission or not, he wasn't really sure. So at that point, we now have Jerry, who everyone knows very well. Jerry's a very brilliant engineer. And we also know Jerry's not afraid to tell people, you know, what he thinks or what he feels. They go over and they have this discussion now that says, guys, you've been here for an hour and a half. Why can't you get the heater fixed? Jerry's like, you know what, if you want, guys, let me look at it, let me help you out. Well, unfortunately, no, you can't help us because, you know, liability-wise and everything, we can't let you do that. Well, Mr. Schrader, who usually is very, very calm and usually is a just great personality, he is now getting frustrated because he sees Tammy, okay, my wife, he sees her getting kind of upset because she feels obligated to keep everyone warm, and it's not happening. Well, sure enough, it gets a little worse. About 10 minutes later, one of the workers is seen going over to the cooler and pulls out a beer and takes it back to his work site. When Tammy saw that or heard that, she gets even very, very concerned, upset. And which then her father-in-law, Jim Schrader, gets even more upset. And at this point, they go to Jerry and they're like, Jerry, we don't care what you got to do. Fix this darn heater, okay? So the crowd is starting to realize that, one, okay, different kind of surprise birthday party. Two, there seems to be some tension happening within the complex. 5 to 7 minutes later, nothing has changed except, okay, hold on, wait a second. We see Kevin. Kevin is now coming up the lane. Everyone, get in your places. Let's forget about the heat for a second and let's just have this surprise moment for this 30-year-old guy who, he just seems to mess things up all the time. So sure enough, doors are closed, lights goes off, silence, quiet, everyone's quiet. No, not everyone's quiet. The two guys fixing, are supposed to be fixing, they're now complaining that with the lights out, they can't see the heater very well. They're dropping their tools. They're make and there's like 5 or 6 people all in the crowd that are saying, shh, would you guys shut up? Well, they try, but they don't. But all of a sudden, Kevin comes, opens the door, the lights come on, everyone yells, surprise, surprise, surprise! Kevin is standing there by himself. Once again, the second surprise of John's surprise party, everyone's there except for John. Immediately, Tammy, Kevin, what's going on? Where's John? Kevin's like, I don't know. I went to the house. I told him I was going to pick him up. I got there. John was not at the house to be picked up. And I assumed maybe there was a miscommunication. Maybe Ron had come back and got him. I don't know, but John wasn't at the house. Now everyone is like, okay, only John Schrader could screw up his own surprise party, right? So immediately, Tammy gets on the phone, which back then, 1990? You know, you didn't have your quick dials. She calls from the phone that she has, and sure enough, she gets a hold of her husband. She's talking to her husband. John, Kevin Mishner said he came by to pick you up, and you weren't there, and oh, really? Really? Wow, that, okay, well, just stay there at home, and Kevin's going to come back to pick you up, because he says that he's supposed to be taking you to that poker game tonight, and you weren't there. And so she hangs up the phone, and now the entire crowd is surrounding Tammy, because they're really curious as to what's going on, and basically it was pretty simple. Guys, John was waiting for Kevin. While he was waiting, the neighbor came over and needed him to help him move some furniture. He had a big couch. As John goes over to the neighbor's house and helps him move the couch, well, then John starts, you know, talking to the neighbor, and one thing leads to another. So when Kevin was there, yeah, John was at the neighbor's house. So we have a big group of people at a surprise party waiting and wondering, how in the world could this be happening? But now, as they're all in the big circle, now the focus changes back to the two workers who were not fixing the heater. And at this point, Jerry, the engineer, has just about had enough. So he is now talking to what we thought was kind of the, I guess, the leader of the AC, DC group. There was only two of them, but he's talking to him, and he's not talking in a very good manner. And at this time, the other gentleman, he's kind of pissed off at the whole situation too. So here we now have Jerry and the repairman kind of going at it verbally, okay? Nothing physical yet. Until the next thing we know, the other repairman, big guy, comes up to Jerry and basically says to him, listen, man, you don't talk to my coworker that way. Well, Jerry was like, look, you idiot, I can tell you this. A normal group of guys could have that heater fixed a long time ago. You guys have really frustrated everybody here. Everybody's still cold. And with that, the repairman gets a little upset. So he pushes Jerry in the chest with his fingers, like, you're not going to talk to me that way. Well, Jerry, yes, I am going to talk to you this way, because you've pissed off everybody here. Tammy's about crying. Her father is beside himself. And with that, Jerry gets so mad, he takes both of his hands, he pushes the guy pretty hard. The big guy backs up, stumbles. Next thing you know, he hits his head on the concrete. On the concrete floor. Knocks himself out. He is now knocked out on the floor, laying there, and the crowd is now looking down at him, realizing that this birthday party has taken a very terrible turn. Not exactly sure if he was still breathing or not, Ron Bonger, John's good friend, kneels down and he checks for a pulse. And as he checks for a pulse, he then kind of puts his hand under the head of this repairman and he says, oh my God, I think we have just seen a Schrader. With that, The man raises up, takes the wig off of his head, and John Schrader now says to 150 people, "Surprise!" He says it to all of these people who are looking at him with facial expressions that are indescribable. People are looking and they're looking at each other and they're looking back and they're looking over and they're looking through as John begins to wipe some of the makeup off of his face and begins to take large parts of his costume away. And they now realize that the surprise party for John Schrader had turned to an opposite surprise party where now 150 people have been surprised. And he says, "Let's let the party begin." And with that, the other repair guy goes over, flips the switch, the heater comes on, and everyone there just had to have a drink first. This is what you call a reverse surprise party. This was my way of taking that seed that was planted 6 months earlier and see if, hey, could we pull off a very unique, different kind of surprise? How did you do it? How in the world could you be there, John, as one of the repair guys and no one knew about it? Well, luckily, a local theater group who did a fantastic job of turning me into about a 300-pound guy with long, curly hair, makeup that no one could tell. It was so well done that I remember going right next to my sisters as I'm filling my plate up and grabbing the beer, and they had no idea it was me. Here's what it took to pull this off, okay? 7 important people to pull this off. I had to first find an individual who could play the part of the repairman that no one in Evansville would know. 150 people, it's hard to find somebody that would absolutely, positively not be known by anyone. So we had to go to Knoxville, Kentucky, where my friend Kevin Mishler, who was just part of the group because he was the one that faked the second entry. We had to have my father play his part that he did extremely well, because Jim Schrader really doesn't get upset with much, but his emotion that night got everybody's emotions a little high and helped with the Jerry Lutz person. Jerry Lutz played the part perfectly. He was the person that everybody knew when Jerry gets mad, he's going to tell you how he feels. And when Jerry was able to play with my wife in a comical way, and Jerry and Tammy and my dad were able to keep the crowd buzzing about how frustrated they were that this heater wasn't working, it all played well into the ruse that was being created. Ron, obviously, he needed to be part of the group because he was the first person who could come up and start the whole idea of where in the heck is John in the first place. The other person was my mom, Mrs. Schrader. She just had to know about it. But everyone else in that place were just part of an amazing play. And yes, we practiced one time. We prepared ourselves. We realized that, you know what, if something went wrong and we didn't get to pull off the surprise of the century with John rising up and surprising everyone else instead, it was going to be looked at kind of weird. So, if you ever want to have a great surprise party and you want to do it in a different way, I'm now giving you permission. And in fact, I'm hoping that a few of you out there listening to this may someday just want to pull off your own surprise party that can shock and awe everyone that's there. However, a few warnings. There will be and can be retribution when you shock the world the way we did. I'll never forget, my one sister-in-law says, so let me get this straight, John. You were filling out your own surprise birthday cards and sending them out with Tammy. Yes, 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 I was. The retribution that occurred, which will be part two to this story, was a large group of my friends who thought it was so funny they wanted to do something different for me and my wife. Chapter two to the Great Surprise Party, I'll share in our next podcast. And it was amazing, and I still laugh of it today. And number two, once you do a reverse surprise party, you can never have another surprise party. No one will ever come to another John Schrader surprise party as long as he lives. Yeah, so do this one time. It's only going to work for you one time. But it's something that 150 people and more, they're still talking about it almost 35 years later. It would be interesting if you ever got to interview the 150 people that were there. It would be really interesting to hear what was going through their mind when I came off the floor and yelled surprise. Because as I talked to them, each one of them had a different version of what they were going. Some were just so shocked. Some thought they were dreaming. Some, they just couldn't comprehend how this 300-pound guy laying on the floor suddenly became the guy that they thought they were going to be surprising in the first place. So, 150 people, 150 different reactions. So the next time you want to do something different, the next time you want to kind of go out there with a little courage, a little confidence, and just having all the freaking fun in your life that you can have, this is a little bit about how my mind works. And we did the research. We were confident. We were respectful to, we were respectful to the guys repairing the air conditioning or heater or whatever. But long story short, today, Valentine's Day, my birthday, gives me an opportunity to share with you once again that when we talk about trespassing allowed, we're talking about one of hundreds of stories that kind of made me feel like there is a God, and he does have a sense of humor. Because God did, he really kind of helped us pull this thing off. I will admit, we only practiced one time, but it really went just about as perfect as you could believe. And again, if I had a video, as I looked around the crowd, of the faces of every one of these people in the first 5 to 10 seconds of the shock that was pulled off, I think it would go viral, because it was amazing. However, like I said, your good friends, your fun friends, they took it extremely well to the point where they were able to say, let's do something in the future to John and his wife that maybe he can share that you'll have a blast at. So today, go think outside of the box. Go think of something that everybody would do it this way normally. But what could I do different that 30, 35, 40 years from now, they'll still be talking about it in a positive way? Except for maybe that one person that was still a little frustrated because she really wanted to help my wife do this party with her. And then she realized that she was told she couldn't because, well, she was one of the surprisees. So I love my Valentine. I love people. I love my God too, because I do honestly believe God created some person in Southern Indiana with a sense of humor that he just keeps me laughing and laughing and laughing. So go out today, find some people to love, have a blast, and then we'll meet again soon.